What's up, baseball fans? Welcome into episode 13 of the Young Lads Podcast. Harris Eisenberg with you, joined by Peter DeFee Jr. as always. Episode number 13, this is a big one, trade deadline. We are recording a day after the deadline, about to be 2 days after the deadline because it's about to turn midnight on the East Coast. My bad on that one. But a lot of eventful trades that went down throughout all of baseball. I think there's a pretty good inkling, if you have followed the game, who we're probably going to preview first. First, I'll ask the all-important question of the podcast. Peter, how you doing?
Doing well. Wish today for the Rays went a little better, but taking 2 out of 3 from the Astros and taking 2 out of 3 from the Yankees looks like they put July behind them and are starting off August on a nice little, what is this now? It would be 4 of 6, and I think 5 of 7, 5 of their last 7 if you go back to Miami. So, you know, starting off pretty well. They played Detroit starting on what? Today's Wednesday, so they have Thursday off. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, got to take at least 2 out of 3 from Detroit and end the road trip off. What? That would be 6 and 3 if you take 2 of 3 from everybody. So, you know, hopefully the Rays are getting on the back on the right track, and you got Bilal starting to get hot, and Wander hit a beautiful home run tonight off of Garrett.
Oh, I saw that.
Hopefully those two guys start getting a little hotter towards the dog days, and we can the Rays, I should say, can kind of turn this ship around from July and make a pretty decent run.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about Bilal last podcast, and we're kind of concerned about him. But now, hey, I guess we just need to start talking about him more for him to get going. So he's gotten hot. That's a good thing for the Rays. But let's go right into the trade deadline. Obviously, the biggest, I don't want to say splash, but I guess the biggest, I guess, shock you could say of the deadline is that the Mets were selling and sold their big guys. Max Scherzer gets traded. Justin Verlander gets traded. And not only does that happen, but Steve Cohen also gives the teams that he's trading these players to a bag of money just to pay them off. I have a lot of opinions on this. For me, the centralized idea of all of it is that the Mets are actually admitting failure, which I think is a good thing. And I think when you have an owner who's really just a fan and just wants to buy his World Series, well, it doesn't really work that way. Steve Cohen learned that lesson the hard way. This is also what happens when you don't have a director of baseball operations in your front office as well. You got Billy Epler, the GM, and Steve Cohen, the one signing off on the decisions. But I'll save my rant till a little later on. Peter, initial thoughts on this. I thought personally that I thought it was going to be Scherzer for sure and probably not Verlander, but it doesn't look like the Mets are going to compete for the next couple of years.
Yeah, because they also got rid of Pham and Mark Canna. They still held on to Starling Marte. Don't know why they held on to him. But, yeah, I mean, also you got to look at what Steve Cohen told both Verlander and Scherzer, where basically, you know, we don't think 2024 we're going to be competing that much. It's going to be 2025 by the earliest, more like 2026. So that basically all but takes them out, I think, of the Ohtani race, which a lot of people were linking them to, because if they kept on to Verlander and Scherzer, you'd still have Lindor, Pete Alonso, maybe Starling Marte stayed around, then you had your big prospects and Beatty and Vientos and Alvarez, and you add Ohtani, and it's pretty much a done deal. You win the World Series, basically, you know, win the World Series, quote unquote. But yeah, I mean, I think it was just surprising what they told, especially Verlander, because Verlander wasn't going to. Or was it Verlander or was it Scherzer that wasn't entirely sure about waiving their no trade clause? I think it might have been Scherzer with Texas that he might not have waived it, but then he talked to Steve Cohen, and Cohen was basically like, yeah, we're not going to go after any big guys in 2024. And he's like, all right, well, then I'll just go to Texas.
Yeah, I mean, this is admitting failure for Steve Cohen. He told Max Scherzer that, look, we made a mistake. We're going to tear it all down. And it was the right thing to trade Scherzer. Look, have these guys been good this year? Like, Max Scherzer has not been the same Max Scherzer. And I feel like it was kind of expected, right? He's 38 years old now. He's not going to be the same three-time Cy Young Award winner that you thought you were getting, who you're paying $43 million a year. So that made sense. Once Steve Cohen told Max Scherzer that, and again, Scherzer's words was that he had to hear this from Steve in order to waive his no-move clause. He heard it from Steve, and Verlander had to go. And for me, it was like, well, the Mets have the talent on the roster, in my opinion, to compete in 2024 if they still had Verlander to build the rotation around. Because now you have nobody to build your starting rotation around. Literally, competing in 2024 was all going to be around if you traded Justin Verlander. But the Mets are deciding to tear it down completely. I thought they were going to treat it like maybe the Cardinals are going to treat it. It's a lost year. We'll, you know, get him back in 2024, spend a boatload of money because people want to come here. A little different now, and I think, you know, the Mets really screwed up on this one. I mean, you look at some of the moves they've made since Steve Cohen has taken ownership, and look, the Mets collapsed in 2021. They bought at the trade deadline. They got Javi Baez. They didn't re-sign him. You look at 2022, yeah, they won 101 games. They still collapsed. They were leading the division the final week of the year. They collapsed, lost in the wild card. It's crazy to think that you're still going to be paying these two guys to not play for you combined over $100 million, and that accounts for your payroll next year too. So, I mean, they are fully tearing it down. And I actually commend the Mets for doing this because, you know, all the discussions like, oh, Wilpon would have never done this. But if it was Wilpon owning the team, he would have just hung on to these guys and he wouldn't have made the moves. That's where the difference is that Wilpon's just really did not care about building young prospects. Who's the last young prospect that the Mets have really built out that's panned out? You got to go back to, you know, did Matt Harvey really work out for the Mets? Not really.
Did Zach Wheeler?
Yeah, David Wright was really the last one. I mean, and David Wright, look at how his career ended. Zach Wheeler didn't work out because he signed elsewhere. Noah Syndergaard didn't work out because he's gone. You didn't re-sign DeGrom. So that, you know, the last time the Mets actually developed pitchers was those big five rookies that came through during the World Series. And now Steven Matz is a shell of himself. So let's just go into the prospect hole. So you get Ronald Acuna's brother, Luis Angel Acuna. Okay, so he's the number two prospect immediately in the Mets system, right? That was just absolutely butchered. You get Drew Gilbert in the Verlander trade, who I love, by the way. If you watched Drew Gilbert last year in the college, in the NCAA playoffs, I mean, he's got the swag. He's now the number four prospect in the Mets system after being the number one prospect in the Astros system. They also get outfielder Ryan Clifford, who's now the number six prospect in the system. And then also, underratedly too, the David Robertson trade, you get two young guys in rookie ball, Marco Vargas being one of them. He goes 3-for-5 in his first game as a Met. He's now the number nine prospect in the system. So there's some optimism with this Mets team. It's like, okay, you know, there's something to actually look forward to in 2025 and 2026 instead of saying, okay, we're just going to be miserable year in, year out. So I think they did the right thing on pulling the plug. And ultimately, like, listen, you listen to New York radio, all they want to do is just say how much Steve Cohen did a bad job with this. And yes, he did. But you have to commend the Mets in actually pulling the plug on this and saying, hey, we're going to restart this whole thing. So I actually give them a lot of credit.
Yeah, because, I mean, you could have kept both of those guys, and then you could have also kept Mark Canha. You could have also kept Tommy Pham and David Robertson and tried to just say, hey, listen, we're going to still try to fight for a wild card berth and made, like, some type of minor trade here and there to bolster whatever, whether that was your starting rotation or your bullpen, and then, you know, miss the playoffs, and then next year just try to throw a lot more money at some other free agents like a Juan Soto or a Shohei Ohtani and just basically try to restart what you did this year. But I do commend Cohen for realizing that the Scherzer contract, though it worked last year, might not have been smart to sign him for the 3 years that they did, because this year he just was all over the place. And the Verlander contract, although he did decent in his last couple of starts, I mean, he started the season off injured, and now, I mean, basically what you did was you paid for prospects. You paid for Luis Hanel, and then you also paid for Drew Gilbert. That's basically what they did. David Robertson was more like an actual trade, so was Tommy Pham, and that was it, actually, with all the trades. But you paid for Drew Gilbert and Luis Hanel, Acuna, and if either one of those guys, I know Gilbert has some high upside. He was the number one prospect for the Astros, so hopefully he does something. for the Mets. But if Acuna's brother is half the player Ronald Acuna is, then I think that's a pretty good steal for trading a 40-year-old that, you know, yeah, he's going to pitch well for the Texas Rangers, but he's not going to be around for more than 2 years.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about it. Those guys were literally going to retire as New York Mets. So, I mean, you're better off getting something for them, right, if you can't compete. Yeah, I think, you know, I've been listening to New York radio the last few days. It's been the same thing over and over again, you know. I'm not going to sugarcoat it anymore. I think you got to commend the Mets for realizing failure. But now the circulation is around Pete Alonso. I mean, there were rumors that he was going to get traded. I mean, if you trade Pete Alonso, that's just full-on admitting that, like, you just need to start over the whole thing. Because, like, really, the last guy who has worked out for the Mets is Pete Alonso in terms of guys they've developed. So, I mean, you know, you knew Cano was going to go because he's a free agent. You knew Pham was going to go because he's a free agent. Scherzer and Verlander obviously want to compete and they want to win. But, I mean, there's a lot of sources around baseball that are saying that the Mets are going to trade Pete Alonso in the offseason. I just don't know about that.
I think if you trade Pete Alonso, then you have to have some serious talks about trading Francisco Lindor, because I'm sure you've seen the memes about the Bugatti that's in the trailer park home, or it's like, you know, Altani on the 2024 Mets or whatever like that, or, you know, Francisco Lindor on the 2024 Mets. But that's basically what it's going to be. If you only have Francisco Lindor, I'm pretty sure he's not going to want to be around for a rebuild either. And I don't know, if you trade Pete Alonso, I don't know how good you're going to be 2024, 2025, 2026, unless you can sign some 2-3 year contracts with guys that are under the age of 35 that are going to pan out and help you compete. But I don't see you being able to do that if you trade away Pete Alonso.
Yeah, and again, like, this is on the Mets players themselves. They had the roster to do it. They really did. The hitting core of this team was there from last year. It's the same guys. Jeff McNeil won a batting title last year, underperforming. Marte can't hit with runners in scoring position. He's hurt. Canna, eh. Eduardo Escobar had a tough start of the year. They traded him out of town. And, I mean, Steve Gelbs was saying it on SNY, and he's right. It was just the vibe of the clubhouse was different this year with this team. It ultimately, when you buy guys and try to win a championship, you know, we talk about it all the time. The Rays culture is so great because they have great team chemistry, right? We know this. The Mets just didn't have that this year. That was really the downfall of the team. So that's the Mets. I think we've kind of said enough on them. They're kind of the main topic here because, yeah, they – the most expensive payroll, by the way, in the history of the sport, getting torn apart. That's the kicker there. I mean, the highest payroll of all time.
They have, I saw somewhere that they're paying $153 million for players that are not on their roster anymore. And that would be like 15th in the MLB as far as payroll.
Payroll, yeah. That includes Bobby Bonilla, by the way. Anyways, that's on the Mets. I want to quickly touch on the other side of town before we go around the league because, look, as a Yankees fan, now I'm not as into it as I once was just being away from home and obviously working for the Rays. I have my allegiances there. But, God, you know, you're 3.5 games out of a wild card spot. There's one guy on the team that can actually hit a baseball, and he's a half a player essentially because he's the DH, right? And he can't run. He's got torn ligaments in his toe. And you go out and you don't do anything but acquire a reliever, a pitcher you don't – like somebody you don't even – what are you doing over there?
There was a moth or like a
– oh.
Something that I just swatted down that got in my room somehow. Sorry, I didn't mean to – just flew right in front of my face. I thought I saw it before, but – oh, there it is. All right, hold on.
Riverview, Florida, am I right?
Yeah. So, all right. Well, it's dead now. All right, carry on.
Congratulations on the congratulations on the martyr. Anyways, well, thank you. Let's go to the Yankees. So, they get a reliever from Chicago. I don't even know his name personally. I do not care. The fact that you have one hitter in your lineup is crazy. Because, you know, if you're an opponent, right, just walk Judge. No one else on the team can hit. Rizzo's atrocious, right? He's having the worst. I saw something the other day. Sabermetrics actually say that Joey Gallo, and you know how much I don't like Joey Gallo, Joey Gallo had a better July with the Yankees last year than Anthony Rizzo had July this year with the Yankees. Isn't that nuts? Isn't that nuts to think about? That's analytics. And now I don't believe in any of that crap. But, I mean, look, people do, right? So that's bad enough. Stanton, I mean, again, we've seen it. Home runner bust. He's hitting, I think, barely over 200. He can't run either. The dude can't even play the outfield. He was an MVP right fielder for the Marlins and was actually solid defensively. He's a liability out there in right field. It's crazy. Your best hitter now is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, and Aaron Boone's too stupid enough to keep him in the game in a big situation. You pitch hit for him late in the game with Giancarlo Stanton. He strikes out or grounds into a double play. It's crazy. So you have one hitter in the lineup in Judge who's an MVP, and yet you don't supplement him at all because the rest of the guys in your lineup stink. Donaldson's on the IL. They're going to treat him like Tyler O'Neill. Just put him on the 60-day. He's done. Get him out of there. He's terrible. You don't give Oswald Peraza an opportunity. So you go into August now, clearly stating that you're not going to improve the roster. Well, you got Estevan Florio rotting in AAA with 23 home runs. You got two catchers who can't hit. You got Isaiah Kiner-Falefa who's hitting under 270, and he's your most reliable option now. It's like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? What are we doing? Seriously, and no one can pitch either. Cole is the only reliable option. If he doesn't get the Cy Young this year, then, I mean, well, there's other contenders for the Cy Young, but he's right in the mix. Other than that, Rodon, atrocious. Domingo Herman's another topic I want to get into, but we'll wait for later for that, because that's just, oh, God. You got all these guys. You send out Ron Marinaccio. I just don't get it. I don't get this Yankees team. We talked about it earlier when we started this podcast. You got dinosaurs running this damn program, and they have no idea how to run a baseball team in 2023. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, you're supposed to be getting Nestor Cortes back and Loaisiga, but at what point is getting them back going to be too late? Like, if you get them at the end of August, is that going to be enough time for
they have a to September bring Cortes run? Back now. They have to bring Cortes back now and stop his rehab because Herman just went on the restricted list. They were like, no. You got to come back to the pigs now because we don't have anybody. Who are you going to put in that place?
See, like them, I know they had Jordan Montgomery last year, but why not take a flyer at least on maybe like a Jack Flaherty? Because everybody, if you think about it, the Rays made a move, Baltimore made a move, and Blue Jays made somewhat of a move, getting Paul DeJong. They also got Paul Sewald, and they also got somebody else in the back in the bullpen. I forgot who, though. Scott Barlow? Did he go to...
Who's this?
Scott Barlow from Kansas City. Did he go to Toronto or Texas?
I didn't even know Scott Barlow got traded.
Yeah, I saw on John Boy's or talking baseball's Twitter account. I didn't even realize he got traded too. But
oh, he's on the Padres. He got traded to the Padres.
So he got traded to the Padres. Okay, I knew he got traded. I just thought it was a team with the color blue in it. But yeah, I mean, listen, I don't understand why you don't make some type get a Lorenzen. Because the Phillies bolstered their lineup a lot. Try to get a Lance Lynn. I mean, why not try to go after one of these I don't want to say lower caliber, but a guy that you don't have to give up a Jason Dominguez or Austin Wells or Volpe for, just to bolster the rotation just a little bit. Get an innings eater, you know? I mean, Stroman went on the IL and the Cubs weren't trading him anyways, and Bieber's on the IL too, so you couldn't really trade for him, but that would probably have been two of the guys that, you know, the Yankees of 5, 6, even 10 years ago would have tried to go after to try to bolster that rotation, but they didn't do anything. They got Middleton and I think his last name's Rodriguez from the Cubs. And it's like they didn't make any moves to bolster any part of either their lineup or their bullpen.
See, the thing is, so for me, the pitching isn't the problem. The problem is you got dudes that are hitting under 200 that are in the lineup every single day. Stanton, Donaldson, Rizzo, Higashioka. It's brutal to see this lineup every day. And this was the problem with the second half Yankees. Like, you heard it from me all the time last year. Pre-trade deadline, 2022, the Yankees were the best team in baseball. Then look at all the names they got. Efros, hurt. Montas, hurt. Trevino, hurt.
I forgot about Montas.
Yeah, Benintendi, hurt. That 2022 trade deadline screwed everything up. The only good trade that they actually made at that deadline was trading Joey Gallo for Clayton Beter, who looks like a world beater in AAA right now. So when's his time going to come? You know, it's just like, I just can't believe that, you know, and listening to Aaron Boone every night, even my mother called me last night. It's like, I can't stand listening to Aaron Boone's post-game presser because he says the same thing. It's the same thing over and over again. It's right in front of us. We just got to do it. It's right in front of us. We just got to do it. Well, you've been in last place now for 2 weeks, so you're not doing it. You're not doing it with a lineup that's hitting under 200, and you keep trotting these guys out there. You get Sean Casey. They're still striking out. So what are we doing here? It's a shit show what they're doing with the Yankees right now. It's horrible. It's like, you know, Michael Kay said something after the postseason last year, and I think this rings true. If George Steinbrenner were still alive, there would be changes made right now.
That's, you know, I was thinking about that. Like, if this was 5 years ago and Steinbrenner was still alive, how quickly do you think Boone and Cashman would have been fired? Like, how long ago do you think?
Like, well, I mean,
3 days into being in the last place?
I think Boone would have been gone 2 years ago when his contract was up in 2021.
I mean, you have the bleacher creatures yelling "Fire Cashman!"
Yeah.
After Franco hit the home run today.
And look, it's very simple. Brian Cashman obviously did a lot of good for the Yankees organization. I get it, right? 5 World Series, whoop-de-friggin-do, right? The thing is, he does not know how to run a team in the modern-day baseball era. He doesn't. Because you want to know why all the Yankee fans complain? Because they haven't won a World Series since 09. And in 09, they bought that World Series. Because what do? They signed CeCe. They signed A.J. Burnett. They signed Mark Teixeira. They signed Nick Swisher. They signed all those guys. And that was the backbone of a team that didn't make the playoffs the year before. Remember that, too. So, you know, this is worse than 2013. This is worse than 2014. At least those teams we knew were going to stink, right? This team comes in with expectations every single year that they're going to win, that they're going to contend for a postseason, they're going to contend for the World Series, and everything is catching up on them. Look at Baltimore. They went through years of losing, right? So this is my point. Baltimore goes through years of losing from 2018 to 2021, right? It's paying off now. The Yankees, they don't want to go through those years of losing. Why? Why not just tear it up? They sell out Yankee Stadium every night. It doesn't matter. They sell it out. You got the face of one of the faces of baseball on your team. Why not just blow it up and start over? You got Judge locked in long term. He's not going anywhere. You got Rodon. He's long term. He's not going anywhere. Same thing with Cole. They just keep handing out these long term contracts, and they don't work out. You're never going to eat the money on Stanton. Why not just tear the whole thing up? But you can't, because who are you going to move, right? Bader's a free agent. He doesn't re-sign. Great. Stanton, right? You know, you're not going to eat that money. DJ LeMahieu, right? The Yankee fans begged him. They begged Brian Cashman to go get him, right? And now I'm going to sound a little hypocritical for a second, but I want to address all the Yankee fans that are saying, oh, give Gerrit Cole whatever he wants. Give Aaron Judge whatever he wants. Give DJ LeMahieu whatever he wants. Is it working? No, absolutely not. So when the fans beg to get everything they want and then want to pin the blame on Cashman, they're a part of this too.
Yeah, I mean, you said it best, too. Like, who are you going to – who can you trade to get the type of pieces that you need to pull to, like, a Houston Astros or a Baltimore Orioles type of rebuild? Like, you can't. Nobody's going to give you what you want for a Stanton. You're going to get what? a guy that's in rookie ball right now that might not be up for 5-6 years. You know, the only pieces that you could probably try to trade are maybe Montas whenever he gets healthy. Maybe a Nestor Cortez. I mean, Bader, like you said, is a free agent. You're not going to get anything really for him. He's too injury prone right now. DJ LeMahieu and Josh Donaldson are shells of themselves right now. Maybe Gleyber Torres gets you something. But other than that, there's no pieces that you can sell off to make this rebuild last less than 5 years. And I don't think, first of all, I don't think Boone and Cashman are going to be around for that. So you're going to have to find another GM to go through this rebuild and a new manager to go to this rebuild, maybe a couple. But then I don't think Hal Steinbrenner is going to sit there and be like, yeah, I'm going to put my fans through 5 years of a rebuild, because I don't think the Yankees want to do that.
I just don't think the Yankees operate like that. You're right. They just don't.
They don't. Because at the end of the day, you can say, yeah, they're trying to build for their future. They try to do that with Volpe and Dominguez and Austin Wells and Peraza and Cabrera. But then at the end of the day, you know, they'll go try to sign Juan Soto for 10 years and $300 million, and there goes that plan. And now you're trying to trade away Dominguez and Austin Wells for pitching or another batter. And it's like you go through the same cycle every single year. It's been the same thing since 2009. You thought in 2016, 2018, maybe that would have been your chance to really rebuild, because you trade Aroldis Chapman for Gleyber Torres, and I think you traded him. You got some other pieces too. I just don't remember who the
Gleyber Torres. Yeah, they traded Beltran in 16. That was really the last time where the Yankees like said, okay, let's get rid of all these. They traded Andrew Miller that year as well. That was the deal that got them Clint Frazier. Right.
Yeah. But yeah. I think like that was your last chance, because then you had Gary Sanchez, you had Gleyber Torres, you had Judge. Who else did you have on that team?
It was Clint Frazier,
you had Greg Bird, you had Miguel Andujar. You had all these guys that looked like they could be around for a long time. But then what do you do in the end of 2017? You go get Stanton. So that takes playing time away from Clint Frazier and from Andujar. You got, who did they get to? They kept sending Urshela back and down. Urshela. You go and get Urshela. So that takes away playing time from Andujar. So really, Gleyber Torres has been the only guy that, and Judge, of course, because then, you know, we know what happened with Gary Sanchez. But you try to do some type of a rebuild, and it worked, because you were a game away from going to the World Series in 2017, and then you kind of just threw that all away in 2018 in that offseason, and now we're back in this vicious cycle of, you know, thinking you have good guys to bring up, and then you go and get a Josh Donaldson. You go and get a DJ LeMahieu. You thought Josh Donaldson was better than Gio Urshela, which it was wrong in Cashman's part. And now Gio Urshela has been, you know, fantastic for, you know, Cleveland and the Angels after being traded away from New York. But it's just, I don't think they'll ever invest in a full rebuild.
Just listen to these numbers real quick, and then I'm done on the Yankees, because then I'm going to blow up. Stanton hitting .203. His slugging percentage, or I'll say OPS. I like OPS better than slugging. His OPS is .725. Rizzo, .244. Donaldson, .142. LeMahieu, .232. This is a guy who won a batting title. You paid him because he won a batting title, and he's hitting .232. I mean, this is what you're doing here.
I think the most shocking thing, too, is Rizzo not hitting a home run.
Yeah.
Like, Stanton accidentally hit a home run to the opposite field today. It's like Rizzo not being able to accidentally put one over the fence is surprising.
This is the thing with the Yankees, though. They get guys, and what does everyone say about all these guys? Oh, short porch, yeah, they're going to hit home runs because, you know, we got the short porch. You know, we bring every guy in, they're going to hit home runs. It's not going to work like that anymore. You need some real pieces. So, I mean, I'm done. I can't even watch the Yankees anymore. It's just, it's abysmal, because every guy strikes out in the lineup. It's like, if you're an opposing pitcher, why on earth would you pitch to Aaron Judge? Just walk him. He can't run, and he's not going to be in the lineup every day. So don't pitch to him. I mean, it's obviously asinine. I'm being sarcastic here, but you know what I mean. He's the only real threat in the lineup. And he's played, what, half the games? He's played 54 games. He's got 20 homers. It's great, but that's it.
Yeah, I mean, even this series, I was like, as soon as he either got out or got on base, I was like, okay, well, that's the end of that inning.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing else other than this inning where Stanton – or this game, I should say, where Stanton hit the three-run home run. It's like, who are you worried about? Right. LeMahieu? No. Donaldson doesn't play anymore. Gleyber Torres is spotty at best. Volpe hit a home run, I think, either Monday or Tuesday. I don't remember which day it was. Bader's bad. So, I mean, you're not – I mean, like you said, IKF is the only other guy that can maybe start some type of a rally, but there's nobody doing anything either in front of him or behind him to sustain it.
And he won't be back next year because he's a free agent. So there you go. All right, so that's the Yankees. I'm done with that.
Or they'll pay him $150 million for 5 years, and then he'll
turn because guess what? The fans are going to beg because the fans are going to beg to do it because he's been the best player on the team, and then they're going to boo him 6 months later because they're these Yankee fans are a bunch of idiots. Anyways, so you liked what some teams did. I personally liked what a couple teams did. Any team that really catch your eye in terms of, wow, they did a really good job here at the deadline to really contend?
I mean, you got to look at the Rangers, what they did. They bolstered the back end of their bullpen with Aroldis Chapman earlier. Then they went and got Scherzer. And then they just made trade after trade. Who did they just...
They got Jordan Montgomery as well from
Jordan
the Cardinals.
Jordan Montgomery from the Cardinals. So, I mean... just bolstering that pitching staff that's not going to have DeGrom for a little bit, maybe even for the rest of this year. John Gray has been good for them, but getting a really solid piece in Jordan Montgomery and Scherzer to fortify that rotation, I thought was a really good job. They also got somebody else. Who did they get? Who did you like while I go try to figure this out?
Well, I personally liked a team that sold. And for me, it was the Cardinals. I think they did well. They were kind of in the same boat as the Mets, but did it correctly to where, they didn't sell off their big pieces.
I got...
Who do you got?
I got... Oh, no.
Is it an obvious name?
No, this is... I just got an update on Shane McClanahan.
Uh-oh.
He felt tightness in his left forearm and is flying back to Tampa Thursday to be examined.
Did he start tonight?
He did. And He went four innings, gave up five earned. The first inning was good. Second inning was good, too. He went six up, six down, and then gave up five in the third. Before having a 1-2-3 fourth. And now he is... Oh, great.
All right. I was going to say, besides Cole, I think McClanahan had the best chance of winning the Cy Young. But now that he's probably going back on the IL again, I think his chances are done at winning the Cy Young. Which is a shame, too, because, I mean, Shane's one of the best pitchers in the game.
I just hope... Oh, Glasnow and Eflin have turned the corner. You just got Savali... Littell has been really good in the bulk inning role, and then, I hope it's just a tight forearm and it's not anything major. Jesus. All right, let me try to look at this Texas Rangers now. Oh my gosh.
Well, so I was saying, I think the Cardinals did a good job at selling. I mean, they traded Jordan Montgomery, they traded Jordan Hicks, and those two guys alone, you got three. Prospects back of the five in the return that immediately go in your top 30, which I think is a huge haul. And now you look at the Cardinals, they bolster their young pitching, which has been a problem. I mean, Adam Wainwright, the dinosaur, has been the backbone of that rotation for years now. And you got Miles Michaelis and Jack Flaherty. Flaherty gets traded to the Orioles. I think the Cardinals did it right. They really did a good job of adding to their young pitching that they really already have. I mean, you look at what the Cardinals did in the draft last year. Their first six picks, for the most part, their first three picks were all pitchers. So they bolstered their pitching. That's my quick hit on the Cardinals. And they didn't trade Arenado, and they didn't trade Goldschmidt. So, you know, they're treating it as a lost year. I think they did a good job.
It was Chris Stratton and Austin Hedges.
That's right.
The other guys that the Texas Rangers got. And I like Stratton. He did well for both Pittsburgh and Miami. So hopefully that helps the back end of the bullpen too for the Rangers. But yeah, I mean, you're right with the Cardinals. They were able to get back some good prospects from both the Rangers and Toronto as well. So I think maybe they should have traded Goldschmidt, just because I think they could have gotten a couple more pieces, maybe even some good position players to replace Tyler O'Neill and to replace Goldschmidt too. Maybe another catching prospect type of player.
Contreras is just not it.
But
yeah,
I mean,
the Contreras is not working
prospects
out.
Catching prospects are catching prospects. They're hit or miss too. But I think not trading. I don't know if not trading Goldschmidt was the right thing to do, but I think not trading Arenado was one of the right things to do, because that's going to be a force in the lineup for a long time to come, especially with Jordan Walker being as good as he was. I know they also traded Paul DeJong to the Toronto Blue Jays. But you also have Lars Nootbaar, who I think can be really good if he ever gets back to his WBC ways. But then you also have Paul Goldschmidt. So you have a good nucleus for going into next year. You're not going to have Jack Flaherty anymore. You're also obviously not going to have Jordan Montgomery. And you're also not going to have Adam Wainwright. And who knows about Miles Michaelis. So this is going to be a Dakota Hudson, Matthew Liberatore type of, hey, this is the reins for the pitching staff. You know, you need to become the pitchers that we need you to become, because you guys are going to be our pitchers for the foreseeable future, because we just got rid of, you know, Jordan Montgomery and Jack Flaherty, which both of those guys were free agents at the end of the year anyway, so I don't know if they were going to train them or sign them back. But now you're relying on Dakota Hudson and Jordan Montgomery. Or not
yeah,
Jordan,
my
I'm sorry, Matthew Liberatore.
Yeah, my thing is with trading Goldschmidt and Arenado, you can't justify that to the Cardinals fans, to me. It's like, you have no first baseman in the system. You have no third baseman in the system that can replace any of these guys. Your top prospect is a shortstop. His name's Mason Winn, who, by the way, leads the entire system. That includes the big league club in hits. And to me, you just can't justify to a Cardinals fans that trading Arenado and Goldschmidt's the right thing to do when, again, like the Mets, you build up this narrative that, okay, like, you know, we're going to be good, we're going to compete. You know, they treated it truly as a lost year, and they're going to come back next year. I think next year, if they endure this problem again, then I think you have to have better discussions on trading the two. But I think for right now, the Cardinals handled it just in terms of, it's just a lost season for them, and I think that was the right call.
Yeah, I mean, you do have a third baseman in Jordan Walker, who's playing the outfield right now to get some playing time, who's been the best hitter on the team so far. But, yeah, I mean, you can kind of look at it both ways. I think it's, if you wanted to call it a lost year, you just trade away maybe some expiring contracts in Jordan Montgomery and Jack Flaherty. But if you wanted to go through a full rebuild, then I think you needed to trade away Goldschmidt and Arenado. But at the end of the day, I think John Mozeliak kind of just, you know, thought the same process that you thought. Like, hey, this is just a lost year. We just, you know, got off to a really slow start, and it's hard to build up any momentum after you're 10 games out of any type of playoff race. So it's like, we'll just, you know, retool for a little bit next year and go from there. Maybe try to sign a Marcus Stroman if he doesn't opt into his contract, and maybe try to sign back Jordan Montgomery after he's a free agent after this year. Maybe try to sign back a Jack Flaherty, and it's one of those, you know, a role as Chapman type of things.
Yeah, definitely possible. I do like the way how the Cardinals went about it. Any team that you were kind of surprised didn't do anything? I think for me, the Cincinnati Reds were a little surprising that they didn't do anything. But it's like, you really want to give up the young prospects too? I mean, you've basically relied on all these young guys to come up. You know, I was just a little surprised that the Reds didn't do anything. The Brewers didn't really add many big pieces. I mean, both Central divisions.
That was my team.
Yeah, both Central divisions. Surprised. Yeah, both Central divisions are just a joke, by the way. I mean, the fact that it's a three-team race in the NL, and we all know how crappy the AL is. But, yeah, the Brewers, I agree. I mean, they get Mark Canna from the Mets. Other than that, you know, I don't think they did anything else, really.
Well, they got Carlos Santana, too.
That's true.
But, I mean, those are small moves. I'm looking at some of their transactions, and it's like you put all of these guys on the injured list. I mean, Wade Miley's on the injured list. You traded Luis Urias to Boston for Blaylock. Who else just went on the injured list? Brian Anderson is on the injured list. Brandon Woodruff's on the injured list. So you traded Alex Jackson away to Tampa Bay. So, I mean, I don't know if you could have gotten a Flaherty or a Montgomery, just because I don't know if the Cardinals would have traded within the division. But I mean, you could have certainly tried, and I think you could have tried to get another starter to go along with Corbin Burns, maybe a Scott Barlow to go with Devin Williams in the back end of that bullpen, or maybe. I still don't understand why they traded away Josh Hader last year when he had a couple more years of team control and he was right there with Devin Williams as one of the best relievers in baseball. Still baffles me to why they traded him away. But
really, you could have
maybe gotten a Scott Barlow, maybe gotten a Paul Sewald. I know he went to
Arizona.
He went to Arizona, so you could have gotten another bullpen piece. I think for cheap, because both Paul Sewald and both Scott Barlow kind of went for cheap players. I don't want to say cheap players, but they didn't cost them an arm and a leg to get. So you could have probably done that. Maybe a David Robertson from the Mets. I don't know who did the Mets get for Robertson.
They got those two young guys. They got Vargas, who's now the number 9 prospect of the system, and then someone else, but they're both in rookie ball, so it's like it's gonna be a while for those two guys.
Yeah. So I mean, you could have made something like that, one of those type of trades, and just gotten your bullpen better, and they just didn't. They didn't. You know, neither central teams for both the AL and the NL did anything to really say, hey, we're gonna try to take over this division.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think the Reds, I think next year will be their year where they really control things in that division. So for the other teams, it's like, okay, like this might be the last run that we have at a division title, and they just didn't do anything. Other teams that made some moves, obviously the Marlins added David Robertson. They added Josh Bell. The Phillies bolstered their roster a little bit, adding Michael Lorenzen. Just these little moves, right, that some of these teams make. I mean, look at the Phillies last year at the trade deadline. They got David Robertson. They got Brandon Marsh. You know, and they made it to the World Series, and those two guys were key contributors as well. Just like the little things, too. Dodgers get Kike Hernandez back, which I think is a nice little bolster for them. The Padres were very quiet, which I think is shocking because they're also in a similar situation with the Mets. Like, are you really going to pay Juan Soto after you just lost?
That was another team that I thought was surprising that they didn't sell, because they could have gotten some pieces for Blake Snell and for Josh Hader. I don't know if you could have gotten anything for Juan Soto, just because you would have demanded too much and somebody's not going to give you that much for a rental that they're not going to be able to sign back. But at least for Blake Snell, who could very well be in the same position that Jacob deGrom was in 2018 and 2019, where he wins the Cy Young and he wins less than 10 games. I mean, that's the type of season that he's had. And if a team like maybe the Reds give you a guy like a Jonathan India, where you can plug him in and have him for under team control for a long time, and that bolsters your lineup a little bit, because, well, I know the Reds were trying to look for controllable pitching, but I mean, still, they could have maybe gotten a little desperate and they wanted Blake Snell to go along with Hunter Green and Ashcroft and Abbott, and all those guys and Lodolo, but they didn't take advantage of it. And who knows? Maybe they make a playoff run. Maybe that team turns it around. I know they're only, what, 4 games out of the wild card now? But still, I mean, at the end of the day, are you going to be able to sign back both Snell and Hader? And, you know, are you going to sign Soto back?
Well, it's the same thing as the Mets, right? Like, the Padres' payroll does not justify what they're doing on the field. So, in terms of a wild card spot, the Padres are just ahead of the Mets. They're 4 games out, so it's doable, right? They're under 500, but you got to look at the teams that they got to beat, too. You got to leapfrog Chicago. You got to leapfrog Arizona. You got to leapfrog Milwaukee. Got to leapfrog Miami. It's a little difficult, but could it be done if you bolster, you know, if you bolster the lineup a little bit, add a little bit more pitching? Absolutely. It's definitely possible. And I mean, you look at the Cubs, too. The Cubs, so they brought back Jamer Candelario from the Nationals. I thought that was a good move, right? I think in 2016, like when they traded him, they were like, all right, you know, we're going to get our guys to win a World Series. They get him back, and it looks like the Cubs are going to compete. But that's how the Cubs are run. They are so incompetent when it comes to just tearing things down and selling. Obviously, 2021 they had to because all those big guys were on expiring contracts. But there's really no other guy except Stroman and Bellinger where you're like, okay, like, who are you going to get rid of? Because, you know, we were talking last episode that Cody Bellinger would be a great fit for the Yankees. He'd be a great fit for the Phillies. Stroman was possibly on the block. Could go back to Toronto. Could go play for the Orioles. And they stand pat 2.5 games out of a playoff spot. To me, it looks like they think they have a shot at it. And I think everyone else in baseball is just waiting to laugh at them because they might just fizzle out the next 3 weeks.
I think that's really what's going to happen with them because now you lose Stroman for at least 15 days. That's 3 starts that you're going to miss. Is Justin Steele going to be that guy to help you win? Is it going to be Drew Smyly? Like, I mean, this offense has been hit or miss every now and then. You're relying on Steele and Stroman to get you those wins and win, you know, 2-1, 1-0, 3-1. So the back end of their bullpen, not that good. So I don't know. It's one of those things I heard on the radio, too. It's like with the expanded playoffs the way they are now, I think it's going to give a lot more teams a false sense of hope that they can make it into the playoffs. But really, you got to think of it. It's like that's why I commend the Baltimore Orioles for not trying to go out and get Ohtani like everybody was thinking they were going to do, or going out and get somebody that was going to cost them Colton Cowser or Jordan Westberg or Gunnar Henderson or Jackson Holliday, because – yeah, they're a good team, but you got to look at it. Are you going to win the World Series? Are you going to make a deep playoff run? Now, maybe you can. Maybe you get hot in the playoffs because that's all it counts. That's what the Phillies did last year. You know, they made it into the playoffs and then they got hot. But it's like you got to seriously look at your team and you're saying, you know, okay, if we don't make it to the playoffs, how many of these guys are going to be back next year? And can we capitalize on their production this year and get some guys to go along with a Pete Crow Armstrong that are going to be up in the next couple of years, to go along with now a Jamer Candelario that's going to be there for the next couple of years. You know, guys like that that are going to help your team for longer than just this year. Because Bellinger, after this year, I believe is a free agent.
Yep.
He's going to get a lot of money. I don't know if the Cubs are going to be able to sign him or if they're going to offer him that money to begin with. I think Marcus Stroman has a player option this year, and he can opt out of his deal and sign somewhere else, which I think he would do, because there's going to be a team like the Yankees that's going to just try to throw a bunch of money at him to get him to come over and pitch, because he's been good the last couple of years, especially since getting traded from Toronto over to New York. So, you know, I don't know. They already DFA'd Trey Mancini. So I don't know. The only guy that's going to be on that team is Dansby Swanson. That people are going to really know.
And the Cubs are just riddled with shortstops in their organization. I think the Cubs fooled their front office because they were a bad week away from selling, and now they're 8-2 in their last 10 games. They're the hottest team in baseball right now. So
Yeah, they kind of fooled the front office there. I think it's kind of funny, actually. But I think they're just going to be a team that fizzles out. And you're going to be saying, well, why didn't they trade Cody Bellinger? So that's on the Cubs. Anyone else you got? I know it's late. We're at the 50-minute mark. But, you know, I thought it was interesting that Eduardo Rodriguez did not waive his no-move clause to go to the Dodgers. Yeah. I thought that was really interesting.
What was his quote that he said?
I don't know what he said.
It was no disrespect to the Dodgers, but I don't understand why you wouldn't want to take that trade.
Okay, so here's
like Go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, okay, so here's his full statement. He said, I negotiated a no-trade clause. This is Gene Motto, I guess, is the agent of Eduardo Rodriguez. I negotiated a no-trade clause in his contract for a reason. With all the money, glamour, and fame that comes with being a professional athlete, there's also a very difficult personal side. Many players' wives and their children suffer a lot of instability in their lives, especially when spouses get traded. I do not take that lightly. Eduardo is one of the best left-handed starting pitchers in baseball, but he's also a human being who wants stability for his family. They're comfortable living in the Detroit area and have adjusted well. As for the Dodgers in particular, once I was granted permission to speak with them regarding the trade, we did our best to come up with a way to make it happen where everyone was comfortable with the outcome. Unfortunately, we just ran out of time. And then Eduardo Rodriguez came out to say, it's nothing against the Dodgers. They're a really good team over there. I'm just thinking about my future and my family. So I took the decision to stay here. So he's a human being, right? He wants to stay in Detroit with his family. I understand that. You know, the dude's already won a World Series, right? He's got all the money he needs now from Detroit. So, you know, look, these guys are human beings. I get it, you know?
Yeah, unless he really likes playing in Detroit, but it's like he's not going to be a free agent after this year because he signed a 5-year deal with them.
Right.
What, last year?
Yep. This is year two of his five years.
So he's still got, you know, 3 more years to be in one city. I don't think Los Angeles would get him and then trade him right away like they did with Syndergaard. But I mean, hey, listen, he's got a no trade clause for a reason. So it was just weird to see that he declined out of Detroit.
Yeah,
like if he was in Chicago or something, and he wanted to stay with the Cubs, or if he was in Philly and they wanted to trade him, like how who did Hosmer do that with last year? Was he with the Nationals?
No, he was with the Padres,
and they ended up with the
Soto trade. They ended up sending Luke Voit that way, which, by the way, ruined Luke Voit's career.
Now he's just mashing in Syracuse.
Yeah, he's got homered in like 6 straight games. But
because that's the Mets, right? Syracuse.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, why not just bring him up? See what happens.
Now you have the room to do it because he's not on the 40-man roster, and now you have room to put him on the 40-man. So, you know, it's a possibility. But, hey, I mean, yeah, that's definitely a possibility. That'd be cool to see it. But in terms of Eduardo Rodriguez, look, you know, obviously you get on guys for not wanting to win. The dude wants to be with his family. I understand that. Listen, the dude probably bought a house, right? You don't want to sell that thing and go live in L.A. for just 3 more years and then go move somewhere else again. I understand. You know, there's a human side to things. But, yeah, I think that was one of the more intriguing things of the deadline. No one really moves. No one really comes out and says that, hey, I refuse to waive the no trade. So, yeah, that's really all we got here for this one. I think obviously the White Sox blew it up. Giolito going to the Angels. He got rocked today, by the way. He gave up 8 runs in like 3 1/3.
Yeah. I was going to turn it on just for a little bit, and then I got the notification that said that, you know, he'd given up 9 runs. I was like, you know what, I'll just, you know, watch something else instead.
Yeah. I think next podcast, I think it's important that we do a deep dive into Matt Olson. I mean, this dude's got 37 home runs. It just turned August. I mean, he's going to win the MVP in the National League. It's possible.
I think I still think it's Acuna's to lose.
If it's not Acuna's, it's Olson. It's coming from the Braves.
You can't go wrong with either one of them. I just think Acuna's got off to such a hot start. He's already gotten 50 stolen bases. He's gonna hit 30 home runs. He plays even though he leads right fielders in errors, and actually Matt Olson leads first basemen in errors too, which I found funny. But he still plays a pretty decent right field, and he's the catalyst for that Braves team.
Yeah, and I agree with you. You got me there.
I think the MVP votes have already been casted. Yeah, like I think it's Ohtani and Acuna. Unless Matt Olson hits 60 home runs, which is going to be really hard to do, but if Acuna goes 40 and 50, or like 30 and 60, I think it's his MVP. I think this MVP was decided at the All-Star break.
I mean, for all those Freddie Freeman, you know, I don't want to say haters, but they got Matt Olson, you know, before Freddie Freeman signed anywhere, while Freddie was still a free agent, they said, hey, you know, go off, do whatever. It's really a win-win for both sides. I mean, Freddie Freeman's hitting .334 for the Dodgers this year. I mean, that's just – obviously, he's overshadowed by Luis Arraez, but still, .334, he leads the league in doubles with 36, is crazy. But, yeah, that's a win-win on that side. And for that, I think unless you got anything, I think we can cap it off here. I know it's a late night. Apologies once again for that happening. We'll try and schedule this a little bit better. 11:56 in my time zone, by the way. So we're still on Wednesday here in Illinois. It's Thursday in Tampa. Got to try and get to the Trop over the next couple of weeks. Hopefully I can make that happen.
We got to see if there's a watch party, too, that we can go to.
Dude, they had their watch party tonight at the original Hooters.
Yeah. Did we go to the original Hooters
we
last
did. Year? We did. Yeah, I remember it vividly because my dad was in town. They played the
ball.
That's
Marlins, right.
And they won the extra.
That's right. That's when I met your brother, and I was like, there's no way you guys are twins.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And you say we're twins. I was like, there's no way. There's no way.
Sometimes I still think there's no way. But yeah, all right. So episode 13, maybe we'll do this live the next time we do it, you know, and both be in the same location. That'd be kind of cool. That's a lot of logistics and money to work out. But if not, I'll try and get down there at some point. All right. Enough about us. You don't care. You care about the baseball. Thanks for listening to the baseball. Two masters, by the way, talking about this game. Episode 13 in the books. Excited for the next one? I'm Harris.
Peter.
And thanks for episode 13. Go to bed.
Lucky number 13. Talk to you later.